Alright, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. Remember, I talked about in previous ever sacrifice of thanksgiving. Is that okay? Which God said, let's quickly read it. It will help us. Alright? That will be Psalm 50 from verse 7. He said, hear, O my people, I will speak. O Israel, I will testify against you. I am God, your God. Now, this is my quarrel, verse 8. Or this is what I'm not quarreling about. He said, I am not angry, all right, about your sacrifices and your burnt offering. He said, they are continually before me. I'm explaining it as I'm reading. My Bible says, I do not reprove you, for your sacrifices and your burnt offerings are continually before me. That is, you are offering all the sacrifices, you are bringing forth all the burnt offerings. You are doing the work that you think I want you to do. You are obeying the commandment I have given expressly. You are not disobeying any of those things. He said, I shall take no young bull out of your house, nor male goats out of your folds. That is, beyond that which I have commanded, which you have obeyed, I am not asking for any other thing. Because if I needed anything, he said in verse 10, for every beast of the forest is mine, the cattle on the thousand hills. He said, I know every bird of the mountain and everything that moves in the field is mine. Verse 12 says, if I were hungry for that reason, I would not tell you. For I know where to get anything that I want. The world is mine and everything that it contains. Shall I eat the flesh of bulls or drink the blood of male goats? In verse 14 now said, offer to God. Now this is where my quarrel is. This is one sacrifice you have not been giving me. You have been given every commanded sacrifice. He said, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. And pay your vows to the Most High, and call upon Him in the day of trouble. In the day of trouble, call upon me in the day of trouble. I shall rescue you, and you will honor me. This is summary. I taught that in one message I called the satisfaction of the Father some time ago. That is what God is saying, is that you have brought sacrifices that are commanded. All right, when things go particularly at certain times of the year, you bring certain sacrifices. Is a commandment. It's not motivated by any gratitude in your heart. It's only motivated by the spirit of obedience. He said, but it's a kind of sacrifice I never see. And I searched the scriptures, I realized I didn't need command. There was no commandment concerning this sacrifice for the Jews. So he said to them, offer to God a sacrifice of thanksgiving. How does that come about? He said, pay your vows to the Most High. How do these two things come about? It is when you have called upon Him in the day of trouble, and He has rescued you, that you will have cause to honor Him. Therefore, when you bring forth that sacrifice, it will be a sacrifice of gratitude that God has stretched forth His hand and has done something on your behalf. And when you have never asked Him to do anything, you never have cause to give Him that kind of thanks. And that's what He was complaining about. People know, my people, they know too many people. They know everything. The knowledge is too much. If they need money, their father is rich. Their mother knows people or something. They know where to just rush and go and get it. Like one woman said once on TV. Now this is not my message for today. Let me just not get carried away by it. One woman said once on TV, he said, I don't pray for money. If I need money, I work. And I laughed. Obviously, you're not from Nigeria. All right? You're an American. Yes, that's why you talk that kind of rubbish. All right? Have you ever thought about looking for work and not finding it? Or needing money beyond that which your ability, all right, can produce. Of course, that was when the economy was still booming. Nobody says that kind of crap in America anymore. They don't. I was watching on, I think it was either Backstory or Quest Means Business yesterday, and they were showing a man who finally got a job, and the wife was congratulating him, and they were feeling very happy. That's America. I mean, they are seeing hemorrhaging job-wise. Every month, 100,000 jobs goes away from America every month. In the space of about 6 months last year, they lost like 4 million jobs. So don't even talk. They don't talk that rubbish anymore. Nobody says that nonsense, that if I need money, I work. This one, if you need work, you don't find. That's what is going on right now in America. It's true. If it's anybody who wins visa lottery, tell him, not travel yet, wait small. Especially when you're working, you better grab that job, hold it. That hunger will teach you the fear of God. You know what I mean? There are different ways to learn the fear of God. You can come and sit down and be instructed. Or sometimes it is possible that it is the hunger of life that you wake up and they say, jump, you will jump. All right? And that's it. There are different ways people take advantage of that. There are those who is going to teach you righteousness. There are those, oh God, if you're a sinner, this is what God will do to you. He will send it to those who will use that to collect the last that you have. You don't know that? But the reason why you don't have right now, it's because you have not given a special offering to come out of this poverty. The money you don't have, you will give it. At the end of the day, you remain in that poverty. There are all kinds of people. I don't know if you ever saw, there's one particular movie by this man. What is his name? Hey. You know, in the movie, this guy is a lawyer, very famous actor, forgotten his name now. And they were so much in trouble that they now show one of his associates at home, also a lawyer, watching TV. And one preacher wearing white said, "The reason why you ain't getting is because you ain't giving." The man quickly take $200, send to the preacher. Then he came to work the next day. He said, "Can you believe it? That this, things are so rough now. I sent money to a televangelist yesterday." I said, "Very good for you. Very, very good. May you remain broke so that you can send more money. When you're happy, you didn't send anything. Don't let God push into trouble so that you do what is right." All right, the Lord is good. So what I'm saying is that the woman said that, all right, because she had not seen trouble. I'm sure people like her are still there now. You know, in fact, one of my colleagues, she used to work in Texas, Texas Heart Institute, and she told me like a few months ago that his colleagues there sent him, you know, the correspondence, sent him mail that now they have learned that thing that he used to say. Now they have learned how to pray, because this was, you know, there was a hurricane some time ago in Houston, all right, Texas Heart Institute in Houston. All right, and then after that, all the economic crisis. You say, "Oh boy, we don't learn to pray." Because the family, they wouldn't pray. Seriously, if you live in a country like America, you have a good job, you know, you won't pray. The two things make you pray: you either fall sick, or you have a court case. Those are the two things that render men into bankruptcy in those places. Otherwise, if you have a decent job, you have no problem. Really, you don't have any problem. You can buy anything you want, live anywhere you want. If your job is decent, just walk out, like this house, buy it. You pay over the next 20 years, nothing spoil. Any car you want, just have a decent job. But please, in Jesus' name, don't lose that job. So an average American is 2 paychecks away from bankruptcy. That was like 5 years ago that they made that statement. As of today, I'm sure there are two paychecks behind bankruptcy. That is. And these are the things that God was saying. And you see, sometimes your adversity, if I was listening to Kirk Franklin, I never heard that CD. Recently I said, it's been in my house for a long time, but I now put it in my car, listening to it. I really like the CD. Kirk Franklin sings a lot too. Ah, God, the guy, I was telling my wife, I don't think I've heard any of his tracks as good as this, or any of his albums as good as this particular one. I mean, he had very good ones, but this one is good. All kinds of, he even sang rock in there, if you listen to the message, the title of the album is The Fight for Faith, or The Fight of Faith, or Fight for My Faith, something like that. He's not very, you know, he's not the reigning guy now, so maybe people didn't know about it. I never heard anybody talk about it, but here he was talking about the challenges of life, that they only made me strong, all right? That when my mother forsook me, she only made me strong. When problems came upon my life, they only made me strong. That is, when those things happened, I learned to trust only in God. At the end of the day, I came out stronger than anybody else would have imagined I would ever be. Why? Because the challenges of life came, and then they made me strong. And that's what God was saying here in that Psalm 50. That people have been, you know, God has prospered them. You know, I taught a message some time ago, which I called the dangers of prosperity. Okay, that when God, I think it's the same one I wrote, that when God prospers people, you know, sometimes you get used to the blessedness that God pours into your life. You don't realize the amount of blessing that God is actually constantly pouring into you every day. That's why the Bible always says to the children of Israel, do not forget. Do not forget. He said, why are you doing this? He said, you will tell your children that this is what happened. There was a time when we were slaves. He said, you do your sacrifices and the children will ask you, why are we doing this? Then you have to explain it to them. Because you do that to keep them in remembrance. Because if you don't, those children will go the way of their backsliding fathers. Do you understand my point? Then they will return into captivity. And then God has to deliver them again. Do you understand? But if you constantly tell them the story that we were slaves in Egypt, then God brought us out by a mighty hand. And instead of us dying, we had to slay sacrifice these lambs as redemption for our firstborns. Therefore, we do this to remember, call to remembrance those days. As long as they do that, they will be giving God thanks all the time, and they will never enter into captivity. But if they forget, voila, they come. That's what God was saying. So people get used to the blessing of God. Sometimes God blesses you so much that you don't, any money you need, you have. Are you getting my point? Therefore, you never have to pray about money. Bless you so much that if you need anything, you know who to call. Therefore, really, you don't have to pray yourself out of any difficult situation. All right? If you're in that kind of situation, don't worry. I'm not saying that you should now go and look for emergency trouble just to prove that God can do it. That's called tempting the Lord thy God. Do you understand my point? No, what you do is that you just take, I mean, if God God's giving you money, you won't refuse to spend your money just because you want to be broke too. Do you understand my point? That's not godly. I did it once when I was in university. Because my parents were always sending me money. So when people give testimony about how they got money, I never had a testimony. And after reading many books on how to get from God and love, I decided to try it out. And the faith worked, I thought. But when I look back, the faith didn't work nothing. Brethren were just kind. Next time you will suffer well. That's God tempting the Lord thy God. Because this was before the days of GSM and all of that. To get message down home and all of that. Because the way I operated then, if I never, I just sent a message to my parents and they will send. You know? And I decided to wait till my money was finished. If I told anybody. So the process of, you know, sending the message and getting back took some days. And I said, let me live by faith over this. Listen, my friend, that you have parents who are giving you money is not works. Do you understand my point? It's part of the blessing of God. It's not as if you are not living by faith. That's divine order. It's okay. Do you follow what I mean? But what do you do when things seem to be going like that? You remember all the time, okay, to give God thanks continually. And then, when challenges come, that's the point. When challenges now come, you don't get used to the fact that things have always worked well. Do you follow? Now you need more money than you actually have. It's not time to start losing sleep. It's time to just simply give God thanks and say, God, I know you are the one that has been taking care of me all this while, and you shall yet take care of me. Therefore, this is what I need. I present my needs to you, and I trust that you handle it. Thank you. I go off to sleep. Now, two of us can't keep awake. There's no use. All right? Yes, and then you go to sleep. One of my friends, all right, a senior person to me, that they were talking. He told me that there was a time business went one way or the other, and then they were owing the banks, and that currently they're still owing the banks some millions of naira, like 6 million. Look, that he used to just stay awake and think. Then one day, he read the scripture that God, never sleep on slumber or something. But just maybe he heard a message or something. Just to say that, look, God, I'm going to sleep. As for this money matter, you handle it. Just in that time, he sleeps very, very well. That eventually, things are looking up. He didn't do anything that was wrong. Things just turned one way, and then they had some issues with their business. Now, right now, nobody's going to do him nothing. He's not going to lose his sleep over it. When money comes, bank, take your money. If money doesn't come, you put on your own. And he sleeps very, very well. And that's it. But those are the situations in which God will not do something that you will know that indeed he's the one that put you in business. Indeed. And let me tell you something. God, it's not my message. I'll get down to it. We're in Galatians chapter 6. Let's just quickly finish this. This actually happened. What happens is that when God allows challenges to come your way, all right, it's just so you will remember that he's still God and he can do things for you. And that was the problem that Asa had. All right? When Asa had a problem, he began to use the connections that God had given him before. All right? He now sent to this man to go and help him against this. And the prophet came to him and said that, listen, were the Ethiopian and the Lubims not a great army, all right, much bigger than you, but you cried to the Lord and then he helped you. He said, for the eye of the Lord runs to and fro the whole earth, that he might show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts are perfect towards him. You understand? He said, from now on, you will have wars. Now, because for 30-something years, Asa had not seen any war. And why did he not see war? It was because at the beginning of his reign, he consecrated himself and the whole of Israel to serving God. Therefore, God took war away from him. And then one day, war arose. What he should have done was to turn around, all right, and face the same God that helped him in previous times. And then God would have told him, Asa, there's backsliding in your heart. And he would have repented. Do you follow? And having repented, then God will have given him the peace that he had before, this time around, till the day of his death. But no, he began to negotiate. Because over time, because of his prosperity, Asa was very, very prosperous as a king. He was. He invented engines. They were thinking, look, listen, the guy prospered. God gave him strength. God gave him wealth. God gave him a mighty army. And nobody challenged him. Because of that, he was very influential. He could call one king up to help him against another. And that was his problem. He now began to use that influence. When challenges came, instead of him turning to God, because the challenge came to Asa so that Asa will know that his heart had drifted away. That's what I call the danger of prosperity. If you in the time of prosperity, in fact, that's the main problem of the problem of life. The time of adversity, that one has smarting. You go pray. Why you not go pray? You will remember to pray. You will remember. All right? You will remember. But in the time of prosperity, that's the time that men forget. So sometimes God just allows adversity to come to remind us, okay, to take hold of him. And believe me, the power of God indeed is available to do things for us in our lives. Amen? Now, you understand the point I mean? So anyway, there's a book I would recommend, The Prayer of Jabez. If you haven't read that book, please go and read it. I like it because there's no deep exegesis on prayer there. You know, the Greek word for prayer is actually purazo. Now, that's the joke, all right? There's no word like prayer. I'm just trying to say what people do. You know, pray, pray, you know. When you want to teach on prayer, by the time you finish, people are more confused than when you came in. No, in that book, nothing like that. It simply just explains how people should turn to God like Jabez did, and God will manifest in their lives. It's a book we should read, and I believe that if we use the same principles which Bruce Wilkinson tried to teach in that book, we'll really experience the manifestations of God like he was trying to say we would. All right, the Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you are here, say amen. All right, let's go to the book of Galatians. We'll finish our discussions. I'll review a few things we have learned from Galatians, and then we highlight a few points here, and then we close. Now, where did we stop? When around verse 11. We ended around verse 10. Now, let me just briefly go over a few things that we said before. Oh, no, let's... How do we do it? Do we read the rest and then go over everything? Or go over everything and then finish with the rest? Let's do the second one, all right? Now, the book of Galatians... We're not going to read the whole Bible again, of course, as you know, it's not practical. What has been going on is that... That's what we've been studying, is how Paul tried to redirect people to focus on the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. The story behind this is that Paul had gone around preaching, and people were turning to the gospel. And a lot of people, and we still have it till today, don't understand that Judaism and Christianity is not the same thing. All right, the two of them are not the same thing. Judaism is different from Christianity. Judaism is the method by which God brought Christ to the earth. But what he was going for in all of that was Christ Jesus. Is that okay? God was not trying to do what a lot of preachers tell us to do this. You know, go to Jerusalem. I want to pray for your over your prayer point. Send your prayer point this week. Pastor is going to Jerusalem. So you will pray over them in Jerusalem. And whether we say directly or not, we imply that Jerusalem is closer to God. Do you understand what I mean? Than Abakaliki here. I have discovered that God is in our hearts. Do you get my point? He's there. He said he lives in your house. You know where God lives? Literally. I know there's an address I have for God. The address might change shortly, but right now, God still lives there. And that is called number 3, Wachikwa Kubwe Street, off Umoji, Independence Layout, Enugu. Why? That's where I live. Do you get the point? And how do I know? Jesus said, if a man loves me, he will keep my word. And the Father will love him. And I and the Father will come and make our abode with him, not in him. There's a difference, because sometimes we think that God is in me. That is true. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. But there's something about God living in your house. A thief that tries to break my door is breaking into God's house. And woe betide him when the angels behead him for breakfast. Now, listen, I'm telling you, listen, the only reason why God will not stay there is if I don't obey. He said, if a man, you will see the scripture in a moment. If a man loves me, he will keep my word. Then the Father will love him. Obedience to the word of God is what invokes the blessing, the love of God. All right? Obedience to the words of Jesus. Faith in him brings forth God's love upon your house, upon your head. And then God now lives, all right, in your house. I like the way Job said it. He said, there was a time that the friendship of God was upon my tabernacle. That is, God loved my very, very dwelling place. Very important. All right, so people make it look like, okay, now we are going there to go and pray. Listen, it's arrogant nonsense. Sometimes I try to be nice and not appear as if I'm causing trouble. But we have to cause this trouble one way or the other. It has to be caused. Like one of my friends will say, if it's the truth, it has to be told. All right, I see it on TV now. You know, say, this water, you know the funny thing? This is when I used to read all kinds of novels as a young boy. I read in one of Harold Robbins' novels about the spellbinder, about the preacher who claimed that he brought water from River Jordan at great cost, and people should come that he might, you know, either baptize them with it or something. And I thought it was a foolish thing. Do you understand? But as a young boy, you know those days, secondary school, reading novels and all of that, they're very foolish. Why should people be impressed? I was very young. I was a teenager. And I thought it was a very foolish thing for somebody to say. Except I grew up, married, had children, and watched television, and I see it. This time around, it's not a Harold Robbins novel. I don't want to mention network. It's television. You know, that's not what God was trying to do. And that's around crap.
We go to Jerusalem for pilgrimage. In Christianity, there's no pilgrimage. The only pilgrimage is to my house. If you want to see God, visit me. And I hope that that's the same story about your own house also. Do you follow my point? There's no... Look, is that what we do in Israel? Sightseeing. It's called curiosity. It only kills a cat. Doesn't kill human beings, really. I hope you follow what I'm saying. You know, sometimes, you know, before, I used to think that some of these things are not necessary. That I shouldn't say them. But these days, I have seen people walk in ignorance. So sometimes I just have to say things that should be obvious. If you ask me now, where would you rather go, Israel or Dubai? I'll go to Dubai. Things are cheap in Dubai. Yes. What am I going to bring from Israel? Photographs of the different tombs of Jesus Christ. You know, there are different tombs of Jesus, depending on who carries you there. You don't know. It's tourism. If you can't find the tomb of Jesus, they dig one for you. Kill one guy called Joshua, bury him, remove him, and say, there was a Jesus here. Do you know which one? Because it makes money for Israel. That's Israel's major... What does they have in Israel, apart from fighting? The only thing that really ends their foreign exchange is tourism. From all you Christians who believe that your Jesus is there, fine, they are very happy. They don't believe in your God, though. It's your personal problem. Just bring your dollar. People will get to where Jesus supposedly laid, and it will be rain on the floor. Any person who does that is foolish, is ignorant. Let's forgive him. Any pastor who teaches them to do that is a wicked soul. It's wickedness. No, I'm telling you the truth. What God wanted to do, all right, was to bring Jesus to your house. Do you follow my point? To bring the presence of God to your very abode. Whether you live in a mansion, all right, or you live in a small shack on a river, Jesus can live anywhere. Do you follow what I'm saying? And eventually you live in a cave, fine. And that's what God was trying to do. Now, I'm just trying to tell you the issue with Paul. That's what we studied. So Paul, having gone around preaching, some people now came and explained to them that this Judaism is the way by which you please God. And this whole epistle is to fight that and let them understand that, listen, it doesn't work like that. And Paul gave his credentials, did everything, explained to the people. Now, we studied a lot of things along the line. I'm not going to go over those that we studied. Why they should listen to him. That people think that Peter was there. He knew what he was saying. He explained to them that, listen, Peter doesn't know more than me. That's the thing. He explained that, look, the guy, he has his job. I have my job. Do you follow my point? Yes, that don't make it look like, okay, we'll appeal to the court of Peter. He said, the Peter sent me a ministry. Peter did not send me into ministry. I was commissioned by the same person who commissioned Peter. So please, leave me alone. That's what he was trying to explain, because he tried to bamboozle him with big names. There's a book I wrote. I don't want to discuss the material now, but one of the chapters, I just had to say something which I believe was the truth, because there are a lot of things I can let go by. Do you understand me? Let me give an example. Remember those days in Lagos? How many of you remember the TB Joshua crisis? I don't know how many of you. TB Joshua crisis, huh? Was I went to TB Joshua, started talking? No. TB Joshua has been there for a long time. We knew him. I don't know about this part of the country, but in that part of the country, we are used to people, it's like Lagosians, they are used to all kinds of people who call themselves different names. There's one guy, his name was Jesu of Oyinbo. That's Jesus of Oyinbo. His house is still there in Maryland. Jesus of Oyinbo, that has maybe 100 children. That Jesus is a different kind of Jesus. Nobody today they start. Oshofa came with his own. Really, we don't mind. Right, Christians in Nigeria, really, we are so used to it. You can call, name is name. There are people who bear Jesus and they are not even claimed to be Christians. They baptize them. Your name shall be Joshua. How many people bear Joshua here? Joshua is a Hebrew word, all right, for the Greek Jesus. So it's not a big deal. Is there any Jesus you like to call yourself? The problem was when a famous man of God now got up and said, that guy is a real Christian. People say, hey, wait, if not joke, stop him. If not joke, stop him. What is it? They have been coming, they have been going. We don't complain. He will come, build a big congregation. After some years, he too will die. Then the congregation will disappear over the next few decades. We are used to it. But to not give it, it's not certified that that guy is preaching the true gospel. We said no. May I not get voice to talk publicly, but privately. And I still say it now. Yes, no, that guy is not a Christian. The guy doesn't know God, doesn't believe in him. All this is in our business. There are different ways of making money. You can sell spare, you can sell spare parts. You can sell clothes. You can invent things. You can import and export. You can work for government. You can be on strike currently. Or you can claim you're a preacher. I have all the footballers with injured knees come to you when their career is about to go. I told you that if you're a sinner, punishment deal. When you are broke, the little money remaining, God will collect it again. So that you really become very broke while you're trying to get more. Now, what am I saying? So, sometimes people let things pass. And so, a lot of things in Christianity, I let them pass. But there are times that people now start sitting on a particular doctrine and they want to use to beat people, explain that this is your problem, and occasionally one just kind of you have to react, especially if you're a teacher of the gospel, you're commissioned. Paul will say, woe is me if I don't preach the gospel. Again, Banky is saying, or in like manner, woe is me if I don't teach the truth. Do you get my point? Really, there are times that you wonder that you're not going to lose friends if you do this. But like my friend Chooks, he will say that, look, if it's the truth, it has to be told. You get my point? It can offend you. I'm sorry. The only thing is that just show me I'm lying. If I'm not lying, then please, your offense is misguided. You follow? Now, so, when I was writing one of those sections of that book, it got to a point. Onyeka sent me a material by Watchman Nee. And Onyeka is one of our brothers to be here. He left Enugu now. And then I got some other material. So I wanted to include references, all right, that this person said this just to support what I'm trying to explain. I was already writing when I just told Kingsley, no, I'm not going to put this. I said, I don't want it to be a war of who said what, who's the big man behind you. Are you getting my point? They can again agree with you, or EWK, or is it Bishop Oyedepo, or E. Adeboye, or is it one of the periodical encyclicals by the Pope? Who and who is supporting you? I said, no, this is not the war here. The truth is what we are talking about. Let's take the Bible and analyze it. So even though all the great men would disagree with us, we are not quarreling with any individual. We are picking the scriptures and saying, everybody, look at this. If language means anything, decipher the truth from here by yourself. Now, I'm bringing up something. That's the same situation that Paul was encountering here. People were going around throwing Paul, you know, Peter around. Peter, these are the right-hand men of Jesus Christ, all right? These are the people who were really with him. You know Peter now, he was the main guy. Peter was the chief bouncer, you know what I mean? Yeah, stay at the door, don't let the young men, don't let people come and disturb Jesus. And then Jesus had to tell him, Peter, please, now let these small boys come. Do you understand? When they had demons, Peter would try first. Now when they not walk, you go see. No, it's true. And that's part of order in life. Like people come sometimes, I don't know them. They come and say, they want to talk to me. Have we met before? No. This is the first time here. I say, please, go and talk to this person. If he says that you should see me, then we'll talk. It's not wickedness. I'm not feeling too cool with myself. The idea is that if I talk to everybody that wants to talk to me, you won't see me to talk to. All right? So the point is that some people were throwing things like that around. Peter, big man, you know. Paul said, hey, wait. Let me explain to you. I was commissioned by God. This is how I got my revelation. Peter saw Jesus, I also did. He saw him before he died, and after he died, I got it from him after he died. So please, and rose again from the dead. Please, nobody should come harassing me. I know the truth, and that's what I'm passing across. The God we are serving, all right, he walked with the Jews, but the idea was that so that he would bring true life to everyone who we believe. The source of righteousness is faith. It's not works according to the laws of Moses, but faith in his son, Jesus Christ, who we have already explained in our other studies, that is the manifestation of God in flesh. Now, so those are the things that we're looking at. Then having said all of those things, Paul now got to that chapter 5 and described how really to walk in the Spirit. And that's when I explained to us that selfishness is the root, all right, of sin, and walking in love is the seed that will plant into the realm of the Spirit. And like I always say, because I will say it until everybody believes it. The Bible says that God sows to the flesh will reap corruption. And he that sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And I was talking to a friend of mine, a colleague of mine yesterday, and we're explaining it again. I said, those who, if you have 100 naira, you need 1,000, and you give out 100 that you might get 1,000, you have not given. Do you understand my point? You have given to yourself through a difficult and long, convoluted route. You haven't given. All right? You have sown to your flesh, and what you get is the loss of your 100 bucks. That's what the Bible calls corruption. All right? But if indeed you give out your 100 naira because you look and say, yes, this person needs it more than I do, or he doesn't have the God that I have, my God shall supply all my needs. I'm not sure whether Guru Maharaji will answer him when he needs him. So I will give him my 100 naira because I don't want him to die. I know I'm not going to die. Do you get my point? Then you are sown into the spirit, and from that you will reap life. Then indeed, like Paul said to the guy in Philippians, my God will supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. And I told a story, which I'd like to repeat again, because it's so instructive. There was a great man, John Alexander Dowie, who fell out of grace. Well, what I mean is that things went wrong with the ministry. He mishandled everything. So his men had to kind of ease him out and try and take charge and reconstruct what he spoiled. At the point in time, the old man who had labored for God was broke. He was alone. People had left him and he was broke. And one man went to visit him and he saw that this man was alone and he didn't have anything. And the only money he had was the one he had gathered to pay the mortgage. The house he lives, his installment, his due, he was supposed to pay. And before he looked at the man, looked at himself, said, this man who had labored for God up till now, he shouldn't sit there like this, not having anything. So he punished himself, put himself at risk that he might bless that man. So he took all the money he had and gave to him. And the man took it and said, my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And a day or two after that, that other man, he happened to have a wealthy uncle who God just moved upon that man and said, call up your nephew and pay off his mortgage. And the guy called his nephew and said, how are you doing? I'm fine. And this is not just at the end of the day, sent him money, liquidated what will happen over the next 20 years, maybe in one day. Not because he sold the seed towards his house, which is what we jokers these days try to do. Because he was honoring a man. That's sowing into the realm of the spirit. I said to you before that money is not a seed. It is the motivation behind it that is the seed. Money itself is a physical matter. You cannot sow physical matter into the spiritual realms. It's not possible. Just like you can't go to your farm and say, well, dig up the holes. Maize, corn. You confess corn into the ground. Do you do that? No, you don't. Why? Because words are spiritual. You can't put them into the earth. Into the earth, you have to put physical corn. You can't look at a mango seed, say, mango, I speak to you, bear cashew, you plant it. No, when you want cashew, what do? You go and get cashew, you plant it. In the same manner, in the realm of the spirit, if you want spiritual favor, you can't plant physical things. What you plant is what? A spiritual substance. Therefore, when money is moving, is the motivation behind it that's moving. It's not the cash in itself. They say, I need a car. I drop the money. Selfishness is what I'm dropping into an offering basket. I'm thinking of myself alone into the offering basket. Do you get my point? But like the story I told you, the man sowed love. He sowed honor into a man of God's life who was a great man. Read the story of Dawi. You will know. And the man looked and used the last vestiges of the anointing upon him to bless that man. And that was why he reaped the reward. You know how jokers behave? They go and tell the story. I say, who wants that kind of blessing? Once you tell it like that, you have missed it. You have told a lie. You have scattered the whole principle behind it. But you can use it to instruct people on what life is supposed to be. Are you getting my point? And it's not as if now, if you want your mortgage paid up, here I am, Pastor Bank. Have I blessed you before? Do you think I'm a man of God? Bring all your money. So your money can be paid off. I will collect the money. Listen to me. I will eat it and grow fat while you are watching. But you lose your house. I promise you that. Do you understand the principle? But if indeed from your heart, do you understand? You look like the Shunammite woman. And you say, he's a holy man of God that's passing by us every day. I mean, this is a good thing to do. Let us bless somebody like him. Then God said, fine. Motive is good. Do you follow my point? Somebody say, look, they see the word of God come from the mouth of a prophet like Elijah. Good. Obedience to it. That is the seed. And that's what produces harvest. So Paul said, he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. And I like to say it, a lot of us have been sowing to our flesh. That's why you yourself know now. You know now. You don't know. The fact is that you haven't getting anything. You know, you look at Pastor Frank, when are you going to leave this matter alone? I won't. Until I see people doing that which is correct, I won't. Until I see Christians doing the right thing for the right reasons, I won't. So that people's souls will not be made merchandise of. You don't make merchandise of you. That's not the issue. Because what happens at the end of the day, that people have, they become resistant to the truth. I have seen people like that. They become resistant to the truth. When you are not supposed to give a good and correct offering, they won't. Because they say they have come again. Do you answer my point? Only they want to see thief our money. Only she have been doing it. No, that's why it pains me. Because if we learn to do good, like Paul said, with contentment, you can never stop. Do you get my point? Every day, my children bleed me in quotes of money. You buy Ribena, apart from basic food, though. Of course, one day somebody entered my house. He saw a sack of milk. He said, "What is that?" I said, "Milk." He's used to milk in tins. A whole sack. What's going on here? I said, "See the number of children here and the number of adults. They got to eat milk. What do they give me back? Nothing. It's my responsibility. It's my job. I delight in doing it. Do you get my point? And that's what's going to be, all right, in your life also. You want to give to the gospel, not for selfish reasons. You delight in doing it. Like I tell our co-workers when we meet, I said, when you look at maybe a broadcast is going on, you're sitting at home and you are hearing it, and you know that, yes, that is us working. Do you get my point? We produce that. And somebody beside you is getting blessed. And the person is feeling, "Oh, Father, I thank you." Say, "Yes, Lord, we have made many thanksgiving to rise up to you. We did that." That's what Christians take pride in. Not I gave a shoe, I got spare tire. I give spare tire, I get motor car. I give motor car, I get maybe trailer. When I give her my trailer, I get an aeroplane. When I give her my aeroplane, I get a ship. When I give her to a ship, you die. No, that's not it. All right? Let's learn to sow into the Spirit. Amen? All right. The Lord is good. All right. So that's what we're expecting in Galatians chapter 5. Paul talked about that principle, and I said that that is the center, all right, of spirituality, because you see, he talked about the issue of he that sows to the flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. That's in chapter 6 now. He said, "Let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches." Now, he said, "Do not be deceived." Verse 7, "God is not mocked. Whatever a man sows, this he will also reap." Now, he that sows to the flesh, so that's what we used to quote that wrongly, that if I sow money, I get money. No. What he was saying, what you can sow in the realm of the spirit is a spiritual substance. So motive behind the money is what decides what you get back. Is that okay? He now said, in the same manner, this is the principle, verse 9. "Let's not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we reap if we do not grow weary." In due time, and nobody knows that due time. Amen? So you cannot, you can't. That's why you cannot just say, "Okay, I want to take this one naira towards my shoe." It doesn't work like that. If you could do that, go to the market. That's the only place where you drop it, you get the other one instantly. Spiritual things, you don't know what the due time is. And that's why Paul said people can grow weary. Is that okay? So let us not lose heart in doing good, for in due time we shall reap if we do not grow weary. So then, while we have opportunity, this is the point, let us do good to all men, and especially those who are of the household of faith. Now, that's where we stopped. Let's just read the remaining few verses, and then